Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds that your word and Holy Spirit would dwell within us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's easy to be caught up in the joy and excitement of Christmas, the wonder and the peace that we find when we come together and worship and the sanctuary is decorated and the lights are shining and the candles are reflected in people's eyes and we hear the words of Silent Night. There is this moment when it feels like this should be it, right? This should be the time when peace really grabs a hold of the world. And then we look out at the world and see all the pain and suffering that's there and wonder, why isn't it here yet? Jesus was born in Bethlehem. God's plan for the redemption of the world that was coming to fruition there in that stable. Why is the world still struggling? Still so broken? It's easy to forget that the circumstances around Mary and Joseph being there in the stable weren't great. Life was hard. Remember, they're not in the stable because they thought that would be a great place to fulfill some scripture. They went there because there was no place else to go. Their life was incredibly difficult. And though people began to notice, the wise men in particular saw signs and were so moved by them, so moved at what God was doing for the sake of the world, that they journeyed to go and worship this newborn king. And where did they show up? At the stable? No. At the house where they are? No. They go to the palace where Herod is and say, hey, we're here to worship the newborn king. And Herod says, what? And nobody is happy. And Herod sends them to Bethlehem with the words, go and search for the child. And when you find him, bring back word so that I also might go worship him. And they go and they find Mary and Jesus there in the house that they've moved to. Why are they not in the stable? Well, a year later, would you still want to be in a stable? You would be highly motivated to find somewhere else to live. And they present their gifts and they are warned in a dream to go home, not by way of Jerusalem, the way they had come, to bring word to Herod where Jesus was, but to go home by another way. And an angel of the Lord comes to Joseph in a dream. And you notice that Joseph doesn't even flinch anymore when the angels talk to him in a dream. He's like, okay, let's get right to it. Whatever God says, I'm on board. Because Joseph has already seen how God has been acting through these events. And so when the angel says, get up and go to Egypt, Joseph doesn't wait around. He doesn't wait around till morning. He gets up right then and they go by night in the dark. No street lights, not much of a road. They are headed to Egypt immediately. And when Herod realizes that the wise men have not come back, he decides that he may not be able to pinpoint an assassination on this newborn Messiah, but if he kills all of the children, then maybe he'll catch him. And so all of those two and under are killed. That's the kind of guy Herod was. He slaughtered people in his own family because he thought they might someday perhaps think about trying to rule. And think about it for a second. He is afraid of a one-year-old who obviously isn't going to rule for decades, long after he is going to be dead, but he's still terrified of him. Terrified enough to slaughter innocent children. And we look out at the world and we still see that slaughter. Still see that pain and suffering and brokenness. And wonder why. But we also remember that Jesus' salvation doesn't just come from his birth in Bethlehem. Jesus didn't just come in the celebration of life when angels were so excited that they tore out of heaven to praise him. Jesus went on and grew up and got separated from his parents sometimes. Gathered disciples and taught and was rejected and was affirmed and did signs and wonders and was questioned and tested and betrayed and suffered and died on a cross for you and for me. That nothing we go through, not our times of joy and not our times of suffering and sorrow, nothing would be a place where Jesus hasn't already been. Where God's love could be with us. And on Easter morning at Jesus' resurrection, we see that nothing can withstand that power of God's redeeming love. God's forgiving, redeeming, amazing love with us. God with us, Emmanuel. It's the name we remember at Christmas time for Jesus. That prophetic name that God would not just remember, not just see, not just think about us, but be with us. Be with us in our joys. Be with us in our struggles. Be with us always. And that is the joy that's kindled again every year in Christmas. That hope that this year, maybe this year, we'll see that joy, that peace, that hope break out even more in the world. That we can carry that good news and touch someone's life through word and deed. That the hope of Christmas, the peace of Christmas, the joy of Christmas might be something we can carry not just in these 12 days of Christmas, but every day of our lives. Amen. We rise and join together in our hymn of the day.